Welcome to the very first episode of Cannabis Uncovered, a KCIW podcast program uncovering cannabis information that has been kept under wraps in our country for many years. Little by little, laws are changing and conversation about this plant is coming out into the open. I'm Linda.
And I'm Karen. We're excited to be co-hosting this new program and hope you find it helpful and informative. We have lots to share with you, but most of all, we want to bring you the news and information you're looking for. So if you have a comment about cannabis, please go on our website and tell us about it.
It's really easy to get in touch with us. You can call us at 541-661-4098. That number's on our website. Or leave an online message when listening to our programs at kciw.org. Just scroll to the bottom of the page and leave your comments on the online form.
Or just click Contact Us on the KCIW.org homepage. We do want to hear from you.
Indeed.
We're calling today's program The New Faces of Marijuana. Since Linda and I are both new faces in the emerging marijuana culture, we were both young people in the 60s, but we weren't part of the stoner culture. Neither of us were involved in using marijuana in our youth. But today we're finding helpful and responsible use of marijuana is a good thing. The plant can be very helpful to you. If you told either of us in the 60s that we'd be co-hosting this community radio program, we wouldn't believe you in a minute.
No kidding. You're right about that. But here we are. So we want to let you know a little bit about our background first. So today we'll be introducing ourselves and have some interesting things to tell you about how we arrived at this point. So Karen, your story is really interesting. Please start with yours.
Okay. 5 years ago, I didn't know anything about marijuana. And I certainly did not know anything about the healing properties of marijuana. I bought into the reefer madness mentality that we were taught when I was a kid. I even got into drug counseling in probably the 1980s. I told boys that if they smoked marijuana, they would grow breasts.
Of course, you did, Karen.
Yeah. And I also told them it was a gateway drug.
Yikes.
Yeah. And we were told this.
Yes,
and this
we were.
Is what I repeated. And now I feel kind of foolish.
And you know what, related to that, when I was a teenager, if I had ever heard anyone say anything about the responsible use of marijuana, I would have thought they were crazy. I didn't see how you could responsibly use marijuana. And medicinal use, I would have thought that was crazy too. So yeah. We've come a long ways.
I actually believed, even when it became legal in Oregon for medical use, that a lot of people were just using it because they were old stoners that wanted to use marijuana.
And it's not that way. There's lots of us out there who want it as an alternative to some of the more dangerous medications.
Yes, my mom was 91 years old, and she had been on opiates for maybe 20 years. And I realized after she had had a few meltdowns with withdrawal, because you get a withdrawal after 48 hours of not using a hardcore drug, that I had to find a new thing. I live upriver. And I'm far from town, and I knew that if we got our road got washed out, or if we had a tsunami, or heaven forbid that earthquake happens, my mother would be laying there shaking and moaning. She couldn't even use words when she got into withdrawal.
Yikes.
I'd say, "Mom, I need words."
Yeah.
And she'd go, "Oh." So that was why I started. And a friend of mine used medical marijuana. He suggested it, and I ran with it. And I got my mother off the drugs, and the doctor helped. But I think the marijuana really helped too. And I just recently heard one of my patients say that she stopped oxycodone using marijuana alone without a doctor's help.
Wow.
So
wow, that's really impressive. And when my parents were having problems toward the ends of their lives and had a lot of pain issues and due to various surgeries that worked and didn't work, and it would have been wonderful to have something that really was helpful for their pain. I did at the time. We were just beginning to think about marijuana use for other things other than just getting high. And but it really wasn't available. And we had no way to grow it in our home. And so it was like there was just no option there. And I do wish we had had that option.
Yeah. And I'm glad I did. And I'm glad I lived in a state where I could do it legally. I took my mother, the doctor was more than eager to give me the medical records. We had to drive over to Grants Pass to get the paper signed by a doctor. but it was a really good idea. And she just recently died at age 96. That was 5 years of being drug-free.
Wow, that's very
impressive.
And
she wasn't any less comfortable on marijuana than she was on oxycodone.
Wow, that's very impressive. So, and another thing, you said you had to drive over to Grants Pass to get the medical card.
Mm-hmm.
And things are changing quickly because we don't have to go that far anymore. We can get it here in town, which is really...
Each one of our dispensaries once a month has a doctor come visit, and you can have them sign. You could have your own doctor sign, but the Oregon Medical Association frowns on doctors being called drug doctors. So your personal doctor may not sign that paper, but he very well may really agree with the use of it.
Right. And there are definitely ways to get... be able to use marijuana medically here in town. So we have lots of options. We do have 3 dispensaries now, which is really pretty impressive.
Yes.
And they're all very helpful.
And they fill out all the paperwork for you.
Yes.
And you go away with an envelope that has the address and everything where you're mailing it. And you just put your additional money in there to pay the state. And then about 6 weeks later, you get your license.
Yeah. And it wasn't hard. Both Karen and I have a medical card. But it's not cheap. It does cost a bit. So that is something to be prepared for. But boy, it's worth it. And if you think of the cost of pharmaceuticals, you may actually save money.
If you're on SSI, that means if you get food stamps, basically, if you get $2 worth of food stamps per month, you qualify for a lower rate from the state.
That's right.
I don't remember the amount because I never qualified. But I think it's like $20 versus $200.
It's quite a bit less when you have food stamps, and that's really a good thing.
So the moral of the story is to be poor.
but there's a lot of other stuff you don't have. So we all have to make do. But it really is possible to get a card if you need it and you feel like you'd like to try this option and use it responsibly. Karen, did you want to tell us a little bit about what you do to be supportive of the medical marijuana community here in town?
Well, if you got on my website, you'd see that I have a list of my intentions. And basically, they are, as I promise, to help with pain issues. And I make tinctures, I make balms, I make suppositories, I make Rick Simpson oil, and I make cannabis paste. I'll make, and I make really good chocolates that help you sleep a lot and very well. And that's one thing I do. I also teach cooking classes, and I'll probably start up again this fall. So if you don't know how to cook marijuana and you want to eat it instead of smoke it, you better contact me. And I make everything as affordable as I can. I do an Excel sheet so I know exactly what my costs are, and I provide for little, very little over the cost of what I make.
And it's really something that I learned as we got into this and I began hearing about edibles in the marijuana world. But there are many ways of taking it. You do not have to smoke it. There's vaporizing, which is different than smoking. And we could get into that in a future podcast. But there's also tinctures that Karen has shared. And there's balms that could be rubbed on. And when it comes to edibles, there's many kinds of edibles. It doesn't have to be brownies. So, there's a lot of options. And it's really fascinating to learn about all the options.
One of the interesting facts about taking marijuana is if you smoke it, you get about 30%, no, it's 40% of the effectiveness of that marijuana. If you digest it, like eating a brownie, you get 30%. If you use it as a suppository, you get 70% of the effectiveness.
Wow.
So I think there's no question what I would do if I was really sick.
If you really, yes.
I've warned my husband. Be ready.
So there's a lot of options. And as we move along through our podcast series, we hope to be able to interview a lot of people that can tell us about different aspects of marijuana use and cannabis in our area. And that is one thing I wanted to mention, that if you know someone who might be willing to be interviewed on our program, we would love it to hear from you. Be sure and leave comments and ask them if they might be willing to be interviewed, because we do want to hear from everyone and get as much knowledge and just interesting facts as we can.
You know, it's fairly important to me to normalize marijuana, and I want to ask everybody, if you can do this, to openly talk about it. You will find me at Freddy's or at Grocery Outlet talking to some old lady with crippled hands, or I'll go up to some man who's hobbling around the store and telling them that if they use the balm, only the balm is a topical. It's not, you're not putting it in your body, so it's not so scary. It works. Right. And people that use it call it magic. And I can't emphasize enough about how that works. I'm amazed. My husband says, well, you should take a bath in it.
Well, in fact, you do have bath salts,
don't you? I do make bath salts, and they say that.
So there's an option.
I got reported that if you take a bath with the bath salts, you got 4 hours of pain-free life.
Wow.
I might find myself unconscious in the bath.
So there's lots of ways to use it. And also in using it responsibly that I'm learning about, especially with the edibles, is to use it slowly. Because dosages are different for different people. And we're all different beings, human beings, and different creatures. And our bodies are different than each other. So you don't start by taking a maximum amount by any means. You start small.
If someone gives you a cookie, I would suggest eating 1/4 of it, waiting at least 45 minutes to see what it does to you. And then you could eat another 1/4 and see what that does.
Right.
Don't gobble up that whole cookie. Or you might do what I did one night. I ended up with vertigo. Uh-huh. I threw up and then instantly went right back to sleep. And that was pretty gross.
Edibles can be
pretty nasty if you don't moderate what you're doing. And now I carefully measure what I put into everything.
Right. And that's why it's so important to talk about responsible use, because you have to be careful. But still, it's still safer. Marijuana has not killed anyone, but it does have side effects, so you need to be aware of that. And I think if you know and you're careful, you can find out how to use it.
I find people just alarmed that their children or their pets, mostly their pets, are going to get into it. I have 3 dogs. One is a food hound, and she has become totally stoned at least 3 times. And the vet told me, let her sleep it off. Don't panic. And don't panic about yourself either. You just go to sleep. It will go away. But if you do an edible, it's 4 to 5 hours.
So you don't want to be trying it out before an important meeting or an important event or before driving. So you want to know how your body reacts to it.
And the more you use it, the more your body will become accustomed to it and you won't get as stoned as previously. And I found out I'm now into trimming. Last year when I trimmed, I got high.
Trimming? What do you mean by trimming?
Well, when you grow marijuana, you have to trim the plant down so that you got the buds and you take all the leaves off. And you're sitting there with little scissors trimming for hours and hours and hours. And last year, I was just like weaving around in my chair.
Oh, no.
And this year, I'm not getting high trimming. So I've built up my tolerance.
Like you've built up.
Yeah.
It's just sort of amazing. The more you learn about it and the more that you find out it can be helpful for, too. So things are moving ahead, and it's really encouraging to see that in Oregon we're making so much progress in this with this issue, and that we are able to use it responsibly. Mm-hmm. And adult use is important. We're still not... Even though we may not tell those teenage boys that they would develop breasts by using it, we're still not telling them to go out and use it either.
I think that worked, don't you?
I don't know. But we want to be sure that it is adult responsible use. Except an interesting thing is that there's THCs and CBDs and plus a lot of other things in the marijuana plant. THCs are the portion that would make you high. Mm-hmm. And the psychoactive portion, and the CBDs are not, and much of the use nowadays is CBD only. It's very possible to get tinctures and balms that have only the CBDs but are really good for pain relief. And for children who have seizures, they're using pure CBDs and having very good results.
And everybody wants that pure CBDs, but they're not readily available for less than a fortune. If you go on Amazon, you can actually look it up. You can buy it because it doesn't have any THC, but it's several hundred dollars. It's at least $250 or something like that an ounce. So, and there's a lot of people left over from the Stoner Age that believe if you don't feel it, it isn't working. And that's not true. But so many people, they'll say to me, but I didn't feel it. And I, you know, but you're still getting the benefit. Nothing's better than fresh, raw, juiced marijuana leaves. And those don't have any THC in them before harvest time. And I have a woman here in town that loves my juice.
So that's interesting. You can actually make juice out of the leaves.
Yeah. And I put them in muffin tins. So that's about a third of a cup. Uh-huh. And then when I make a smoothie, I throw one of those marijuana little frozen hunks into my blender along with some other things, and it's really good. Warning is, if it will clean you out if you're not used to it.
So you can build up
your tolerance for that also, but I have learned that I want to strain my marijuana juice.
Well, it's the same as a lot of even supplements, herbal supplements, a lot of them, you have to be careful because they can be very strong and they can have side effects. So it's like anything. So marijuana is really an herb. It's a plant and a fascinating one. Talking about how far it's come in Oregon, you were telling me about some legislation, Karen, that's really recent.
Oh, yeah. I just read this on the net today that I'm looking for my notes here so I get it right. Last night, I guess it was last night, they voted for a measure that would allow the VA hospitals to suggest marijuana to their patients or to recommend it. It failed. But last year, they had pretty much the same vote. And it failed also. But this year, there was a 15-point upward vote for this measure. And I read that a Democrat wanted to vote yes, but he mistakenly voted no. And someone else voted no because they thought the measure didn't go far enough. Ah. So you see how close it came to passing. And I believe that next year, it will pass. I run into so many veterans that are so frustrated with the VA because they can't even tell the doctor that they use marijuana because they have run the risk of losing pain medication.
Right, and you need something.
And there is a waiver that can be signed. You can get the waiver through the state that says to the VA here in Oregon, you have to allow me to use marijuana. Very few people get that waiver. Maybe the VA doesn't even pay attention to the waiver. I don't know. But I think a future program, a veteran who could address this would be better able to explain it.
That would be exciting to get a veteran on.
But you don't know how many times I've heard, oh, I go to the VA, I can't use marijuana. Or the pain clinic. I've heard the pain clinic will say, oh, it's okay that you take marijuana. But later on, maybe your third visit in, they say, if you don't stop using marijuana, we won't see you. And meanwhile, we've cut your medication in half. So it may be legal in Oregon, but we're not free yet.
Not yet. We have a long ways to go, but we've come a long ways. We've really come an amazingly long way. So we're working on. And I know in the paper today it was by the way, tomorrow is the first day that recreational marijuana can be bought in the dispensaries. That was a problem because when it was first legalized for recreational use in Oregon, you couldn't buy it. But now you can as of tomorrow, which is October 1st. And so little by little, we're getting there, but we're on the cutting edge. And when you're on the cutting edge of something, you can't expect that it's going to happen overnight. But we can be glad we live in Oregon instead of some of these other states where you can't.
Oh yeah,
do
in
anything.
Florida, it's terrible. Yeah, and I'm hoping that Florida goes legal. We have a really great man in Florida, Robert Platschorn, who runs a group called the Silver Tur, and he's one of my inspirations. In fact, when I first got into working with my mom's meds, that's who I researched. And then I got into another group through a medical, Magical Butter Users United on Facebook. And that one is the most helpful page I've ever found.
Why would they call it Magical Butter?
Because I have a magical butter machine that I saw on that site, and I ordered one, and it allows you to make medicine without making a mess.
Wow.
You know, because when you work with marijuana, it's a very slow process. So you have this stuff cooking on your stove that you have to stand there and stir and stir and stir. Make sure it doesn't burn. Make sure this, make sure that. And with a magical butter machine, you put all your things in there and you just push buttons and you walk away.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not advertising for magical butter machine, but I love my magical butter machine.
But they're very helpful.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to know about, too. So if Karen, tell us again, what is your Facebook page called?
Well, it's called 420 in the Kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Can you believe that? That's the name of my website. I couldn't believe that I got that name.
You were lucky.
But of course, I didn't even know what it meant.
So how did you decide on it? Did somebody mess
with
you?
Well, as I was reading and reading, I kept seeing this 420 mentioned. And I thought, well, I want to do a website about cooking marijuana. And how about 420 in the kitchen? Like it's a time we're going to meet in the kitchen. Because I kept seeing that term 420. And then I looked up the definition of it. It said, and I don't know if this is right or not, that kids got out of school about 4 o'clock. And they would say to their friends, see you at 420. That meant, hey, let's have a joint.
Oh, I was wondering what the history of that was.
So that's what I read. And there could be another thing behind it, but that's what I read.
I know on April 20th, there's a subculture that really holds that as an important day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be interesting to find out a little bit more about that and let people know on our podcast. So let's see. Can you think of anything else about your?
Well, one thing that happened because of my cooking classes was that these people said, "Hey, we need to get together and talk." And so we started an organization. It's currently called 420 in the Kitchen, but it's up for another name if somebody can think of something. And we meet every month, the third Sunday of every month at 1 o'clock at the Harbor Fire Hall. And that's off. That's right. That road that's right before Maddie's Pancake House. Make a right. It's right next to the UPS office.
Yes.
And we meet there. There's no marijuana use during the meeting. So anybody that would be offended by that, they don't have to subject themselves to marijuana use. I did go to some meetings that were held earlier on when I first got started. And I was appalled because when I walked in, there's people smoking pot. There's these big bags of plastic bags that people are sniffing into. And I'm going, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? And I found that people didn't even really want to talk to me because I wasn't a user. And it took a while. I think they eventually found out I was harmless. I'm an old lady with gray hair, after all. but I learned a lot through them, and they gave me bags of leaf or shake, and that's the leaves off the marijuana plant that many growers throw away. And it holds a lot of good medicine.
Wow.
And I made my mother butter. And made cookies for her, and that's how I first started.
Oh, wow. So you weren't growing it at first?
No. I didn't know anything about it.
Wow.
And then that spring, somebody gave me a couple clones, people that I met at the meeting, and I grew it. And this is our third year. And I would say that every year, we probably double our production. Wow. It is a weed, but you have to tend it.
You have to tend it, like any gardening.
And we grow it in a hoop, so it's protected from the fog.
And also, it grows rather big, right?
Oh, yeah. We recently cut a lot of bud to trim because it wanted to go through the plastic. And if it goes up against the plastic, and then there's a risk of mold forming.
Oh, you don't want that.
Yeah.
No. And in this area, mold is very easy to get.
Oh, yeah. We grow mold well.
Well, yes, we do with all our humidity. But that's interesting how big it gets because when I used to hear about people growing marijuana, I pictured, a few little plants maybe on your kitchen counter or something. They get very big, so you're not going to have just a few little plants.
I see pictures from friends on Magical Butter United Users Group. They'll post a picture of their garden, and they're outside because they're in a higher elevation where they don't get fog and stuff. And they look like trees.
That's amazing.
Literally trees.
Wow.
And we have one plant. I think the circumference of the stalk is about, 4 inches across, something like that. They can be big plants.
Right.
And you never throw away anything. You keep the root, you keep the sticks.
Even the roots?
The roots,
really?
The sticks, the leaves, the bud, all have medicine in them.
What do you do with the roots?
Well, currently, I have a jar of them soaking, and I'm going to soak them for about 6 months. Because I think that by soaking them for 6 months, I will get more medicine out of them. And I'm going to see what I get.
Wow.
But I know that it works because I've read that it works for other people. they often just put sticks in hot water and make tea.
Wow. Or,
and the root has stuff in it, too. And my husband threw the roots away last year.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
No more of that.
No more of that.
Well, that's pretty fascinating.
So and so if somebody doesn't have medicine, you know, I might have some roots or sticks or something. I just throw your way. And, you know, but you can have your own medicine. You need to be self-sufficient. Because when you're dependent on other people, that's when you get into trouble.
Because when they're not there,
what are you going to do?
Like in your case, living upriver, if you needed to get, if there were like a slide on the road or whatever that would keep you from getting down to town.
Yeah, it used to be that I worried about my doctor who lived on the Smith River actually being able to get to Brookings to sign the prescription.
Ah.
Because I needed that. I had to have a piece of paper. When you have a class one drug, you have to have a signed paper to take to the drugstore. And it wasn't easy. I'd go to pick it up and the office would say, well, you didn't call. And I'm thinking,
dear.
Okay, another 24 hours, my mother goes into withdrawal. What am I going to do?
No.
And it's Friday afternoon. And I'd have a little tizzy fit in the office and they'd say, would you like to come in and sit down and talk to us about this?
Yes, you did want to come in.
Yeah.
So things are a lot better now.
Oh, yeah. And it was so freeing to be able to say, hey, I can do this myself.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So there's lots to learn, but for those who are willing to learn it, it's really useful. And if you're not able to grow, I mean, if you just are in an apartment, you're not going to be able to grow. You won't have space, probably.
People grow
some
in their closets.
Do. Yeah, but I mean, it could be difficult to grow it, and that's why it's a good thing that we have dispensaries, so we can go and get products and a variety of products. I think all three dispensaries in our area have quite a good variety of products.
Well, two dispensaries carry my product now. They carry my tincture. Banana Safe Access does, and so does High Tides.
So they're
and along with
ways.
A bomb because I had them tested. And that's another thing that's problematic in Oregon. If I send my product to 10 labs, I get 10 different results.
Yes, and that's something. There's a lot of these things that just scientifically that needs to be developed and worked on.
My husband believes that people put these labs together, but the people running the labs don't know how to use the equipment. That's what he thinks.
That very well could be. And that's where, as the time goes by, we're going to have more and more people who are able to know.
And the state has to step up and regulate the labs and make them all do the same process.
Exactly.
So at least we have, you know, it isn't comforting. My tincture tests out at 14% THC, and it's supposed to be very, very high. But can I really believe it?
Right.
Maybe it's only 10. Maybe it's 20.
And that's why, I mean, we don't like over-regulation, but in the case of trying to have a lab telling us what the strength of our marijuana is, we need some regulation so that we have a standard.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. So
I wanted to let you know that I really encourage people to be vocal and to come to our meetings and to know that we're not judging you as having reefer madness.
Not at all.
Yeah, and we need to get away from that. And as older people, we have a tendency to believe what we were told when we were kids. And we have to relearn some things.
We do indeed. And even and being older, we can learn things. So, and in fact, I came to one of Karen's meetings even before I had my medical marijuana card, and it was fine. Like you say, you don't have to be using it to come to your meeting. So it was a good place to learn a lot and to see that marijuana does have a new face. Who I saw at that meeting was not who I would have thought about, you know, 20 years ago using marijuana. These were just ordinary people who needed pain relief or whatever they were there. You know, it's also people use it for cancer, for some types of cancers, and that's something we could get into in a future podcast.
Well, you know, one
also.
Of my dreams is to have like a food bank, and we could call
it
that
would be cool.
A cannabis bank. And people that are very low-income people can't afford $10 to $15 a gram at a dispensary. And maybe we could, if there are enough of us, we could all contribute a certain amount of leaf, stem, root, and even bud, and give it to them at a nominal cost. I found out that when you give, you're often thought to be nice and stupid. And I'm nice, but I'm not stupid.
There you go.
And then I have to turn these people down because they become entitled. And that isn't the point of giving them medicine.
No.
And I don't want to do that to anybody. So,
but if a bank would be an interesting concept, yeah. and that may happen. So,
and I'd also like to see a hemp fest.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that would be fun.
And I'm going to the Emerald Cup in December in Sonoma, California. And the main reason I'm going is I want to see one of these things. I want to see how it works, what happens. Is there a bunch of old stoners there? Are there? I am going to meet Alice Rodriguez, and I met her through the Magical Butter Users United group. And we're going to meet there.
How
and
exciting.
She has shared recipes. And my tincture is mainly because of Alice and another member there.
So
and
now, where is she from?
She's from I think the coast area, probably about Morro Bay around
there.
Oh,
I see, in California.
Yeah,
right.
And she's entering the contest. And I'm thinking I want to do that too. But I don't want to compete with her.
Oh, dear.
Because I got most of my ideas from her. Maybe I'm doing better than she is. I don't know. But I'm not sure they allow Oregon-grown marijuana to be in the California contest.
That
I'm not sure.
That could be a problem.
Because, see, I don't know much.
And that's another thing. When you say Oregon-grown, I know there's still lots of regulations about crossing state lines, and you have to be really careful
mm-hmm.
or sending it. So if you are interested in getting into marijuana for medical or recreational uses, which both are possible now, you need to check out the legalities, because there still are rules, and you need to follow those rules, or you can still get in trouble for using it the wrong way. So, and we hope to very soon have someone on our program who will really tell us more about the legal use of marijuana in our area.
Well, I noticed the paper today really did a good job.
That's good.
I want to applaud them and shout out praises for the pilot.
Good.
Because they gave us questions and they answered them. And they had like two pages of these.
So if you have questions, go to today's pilot. Well, today is September 30th. And so that you know which pilot to go to, the local paper. And that will give you a lot of good information.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good
and
idea.
And you can always contact me. And I hear that if you go to
KCIW.org and you click on contact. No. I'm sorry. If you click on contact, you can leave comments for us. But if you go to our program, click on programs, go to this particular program on our website, scroll down to the bottom, we will have Karen's contact information there. And if you can't find it, just leave a comment and say, please send Karen's contact information, and we can do that too. We're very friendly at KCIW, and we'd love to help you with any problems. If you do ask a question and we don't get back to you, ask again or ask in a different way. Like I say, you could call us 541-661-4098. That is the number for KCIW, but they could get you in touch with either Karen or myself if you have questions that we might be able to answer.
And remember, if you're over 50, passion keeps you young.
Right. That's
and I have a passion for marijuana now.
And it does. Karen is very young, by the way. She may describe herself as an old lady with gray hair, but if you knew her, you would know she is very young at heart. So, and
at
passion
heart.
Does help. Oh, well, I'm body too, some. So I think we're getting near the end. I think we are. And to end up our program, I'd like to leave a little fascinating fact with you that Karen found for us, that from 1850 to 1936, cannabis was used as a primary medicine for more than 100 separate illnesses or diseases in the United States. And that's something a lot of us aren't aware of. We think it's always been illegal. No. So up until 1936, it was actually used as a medicine.
Well, the reason it was closed down was that the lumber industry wanted to make more money. And hemp was contradicting that ability. So who's the guy? Patty Hearst's father.
William Hearst
used his newspapers to promote lumber and to get rid of hemp because he owned a lot of lumber that he wanted to make money from. And so he's one of the main reasons. You'd like to think that, it was a moral issue. No, it was not a moral issue. It was an economic issue.
So that's an interesting...
But in World War II, we promoted the use of growing hemp because we needed rope. It's funny how when we need something, it becomes legal. And then when we don't, somebody else wants to make money doing something else, it becomes illegal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and hemp is not exactly cannabis, but it's related.
It's always male. That's what I read.
Oh, it's, yeah.
And you can't grow hemp any closer than 5 miles from a marijuana grow.
Wow. Because
they'll
cross-pollinate.
Yeah. But even if you get male plants, like you order seeds, and you get male plants, or you have, what do they call them, hemis? When a female plant becomes both, you can use that for medicine.
Oh, wow.
You don't throw those plants away, please. Wow. And if you don't want them, call me, and I will take them,
Karen.
And I will give them away.
Karen will take care of them. So.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fascinating. I think we're ready to wrap up our program. And we look forward to having more programs of Cannabis Uncovered, and to hearing from our audience. We really do want to hear from you. So we are hoping this will be a conversation, not just a one-way street here. We want it to go both ways. So come back again soon and hear our next program. And please do go to the 420 in the Kitchen Facebook page. That is the name of it, 420 in the Kitchen. And like the page. We all love that. And go to KCIW and like their page. And watch. We will post when we have another podcast. We'll post that both on the KCIW page and on 420 in the Kitchen. And so we want you to come back and tell your friends. And remember, you can listen to our programs on demand. They're not real time. We're not yet on the radio, but after we are, we hope to have on-demand programming so that you can listen anytime. So we really enjoyed having you as our audience, and we hope to have you back soon.
If you like this podcast, consider donating something. The sooner we can raise the money, the sooner we get on the air. Please go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you.